Well, good morning, people of God. How are you this morning? You got plowed out and everything? You're here. Well, that doesn't mean you got plowed out. That's maybe you just kind of plowed through it or something like that. We're here. That's good. Let me see here. Which one? Oh, here we go. We begin to this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join our gatherings here. I want Jesus to walk with me.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gifts of baptism.
We give you thanks, Holy and gracious God, for you created the waters of the earth, wide oceans, rushing streams, clear lakes, mighty rivers. You led your people through the sea and called them to life in covenant with you. Your Son was baptized into your return to begin his mission among us. You pour out your Holy Spirit to renew the face of the earth. Through this water, you remind us of the gift of baptism. Renew us to the promise, so that we may serve this world and all its needs. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, who gives us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and forgive us our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one and another. Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to life. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you, Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen.
First reading, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 and 15 through 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. He said, I am the mighty God. Walk faithfully with me. Live in a way that pleases me. I will now act on my covenant between me and you. I will greatly increase the number of children after you. Abraham fell with his face to the ground. God said to him, This is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. You will not be called Abraham anymore. Your name will be Abraham. Because I have made you a father of many nations, I will greatly increase the number of children after you. Nations and kings will come from you. I will make my covenant with you last forever. It will be between me and you and your family after you, for all time to come. I will be your God, and I will be the God of all your family after you. God also said to Abraham, Do not continue to call your wife by the name Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will give her my blessing. You can be sure that I will give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings will come from her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 22:23-31. Please read the bold response. You who have respect for the Lord, praise Him, all you people of Jacob. Honor Him, all you people of Israel. Worship Him. Because of that, what you have done, I will praise you in the whole community of those who worship you, in front of those who respect you. I will keep my promise.
Those who are poor will
from the one end of the earth to the other will remain and turn to the Lord. The people of all the nations will bow down in front of you, of him. All rich people of the earth will feast and worship God. All who give down to the grave will kneel in front of him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive will kneel. And they will tell people who have not yet been born, and the Lord has done what is right.
A reading from Romans chapter 4. Abraham and his family received a promise. God promised that Abraham would receive the world. It would not come to him because he obeyed the law. It would come because of his faith, which made him right with God. Do those who depend on the law receive the promise? If they do, faith would mean nothing. God's promise would be worthless. The law brings God's anger. Where there is no law, the law cannot be broken. The promise is based on God's grace. The promise comes by faith. All of Abraham's children will certainly receive the promise, and it is not only for those who are ruled by the law. Those who have the same faith that Abraham had are also included. He is the father of us all. It is written, "I have made you a father of many nations." God considers Abraham to be a father. The God that Abraham believes in gives life to the dead. Abraham's God also creates things that did not exist before.
When there was no reason for hope, Abraham believed because he had hope. He became the father of many nations, exactly as God had promised. God said that is how many children you will have. Abraham did not become weak in his faith. He accepted the fact that he was past the time when he could have children. At that time, Abraham was about 100 years old. He also realized that Sarah was too old to have children. But Abraham kept believing in God's promise. He became strong in his faith. He gave glory to God. He was absolutely sure that God had the power to do what he had promised. That's why God accepted Abraham, because he believed, so his faith made written not only for Abraham, there were written also for us. We believe in God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So God will accept our faith and make us right with himself. Jesus was handed over to die for our sins. He was raised to life in order to make us right with God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus began to teach his disciples. He taught them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. He taught them that the elders would not accept him. The chief priests and teachers of the law would not accept him either. He must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke clearly about this. Peter took Jesus to one side and began to scold him. Jesus turned and looked at his disciples. He scolded Peter. "Go behind me, Satan," he said. "You are not thinking about what God cares about. Instead, you are thinking about the things humans care about." Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples. He said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must say no to themselves. They must pick up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me, for the good news, will save it. What good is it if someone gains the whole world but loses their soul? Or what can anyone trade for their soul? Suppose anyone is ashamed of me and my words among these adulterous and sinful people. Then the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory and the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord. Would you please pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks this day for the beauty of your creation, for safety on the roads, and we give you thanks this day that we come together as your people to worship you and to hear your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been accused of something over the years by my wife. It's called, if you just one. It's called selective listening. Selective hearing. Have any of you been plagued with something like that? You know? Oh my, the hands just go up. Selective listening. You know, it's one of those things that, when Lori will ask me to do something that go, yeah. And then I'm also amazed when I ask Lori to do something too. She has a problem with selective listening too. Just so you know, it's not all me. It goes both ways. She can hear just fine. I can hear just fine most of the time. But, you know, that's selective listening. It's like we're tuned into hearing certain things. Come for dinner. Yeah. Take out the trash. What? Do your homework. Huh? All those different types of things. Selective listening. Our text today begins with selective listening, you might say. To put this in context, Jesus had just talked to the disciples and asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" And it ends with Peter's confession, "You are the Messiah. You're the Christ." And Jesus just says, "You got it right." Then Jesus now turns and says some things like this: "If you want to become my followers, then let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." And they're all saying, "Say what? Huh?" Selective listening. No, that can't be right. So the disciples had also a severe case of selective listening. When Jesus foretells about his own death and resurrection and what it means to follow him, the disciples stop their ears. They plug their ears. It's like they're going, la, 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 la. You know that whole thing? You know, when you plug your ears and you don't want to hear what's being said. And they refuse to listen. We shouldn't be too hard on the disciples, though, in regards to their listening, because we have the same serious case. Now, Jesus clearly says, if you want to become my disciples, my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And we don't really encounter this type of teaching very often in our world. Because we live in a world where we're encouraged self-fulfillment, self-help. I've never heard us self-denied preached by our TV preachers. And you know, we can go to a Christian bookstore and we can find tons of books on self-help and how to become more spiritual, yada, 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 yada. Self-help type of books. But maybe we might find one that has anything to do with self-denial. We just really don't want to hear about self-denial. Because self-denial books don't sell. They don't sell. You know, Peter probably would have said something like this. Well, let's do a marketing plan. Let's talk about, you know, you don't really have to do a whole lot. Just, you know, come walk along with us and you don't have to give up anything. You can pack whatever you want to bring to on the road and stuff like that. And it's a better marketing plan. More positive, Jesus. It's more positive to do it this, to be more positive about this. Now, let's kind of leave the going to the cross thing and taking up your own cross. Let's just kind of put that in the back shelf, because that doesn't really sell. Who's going to latch on to a message like that? We just don't want to hear it. From Jesus' words, we begin to see that self-denial, though, is an essential element of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You know, we have disciplines and things like that, like especially in Lent, we talk about fasting, you know, and we pray for our leaders and situations, and that's incredibly important. And observing Lent is really worthwhile. But self-denial, and to understand what that is, and that's probably something that we have to work on, is central. Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, he says that. Self-denial isn't attractive. It goes against who we are, our DNA. We're more into self-preservation, not self-denial. Self-preservation helps us to survive. So really the question today before us as Christians, and though there's followers of Jesus, how do we go against our natural inclinations and live a life of discipleship? Now, we do have examples of self-denial in our history, and there's different names that come up. People who lay themselves out there not worrying about their own safety, their own well-being necessarily, their own good. They were more concerned about the well-being and health and safety of others. And names like Gandhi and Mother Teresa come to mind. Another one that comes to mind is one from World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. How many of you have heard the name Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor, a resistance pastor, resisting the Nazis in World War II, and he was arrested and killed about a month before the war ended. But he laid himself out there for what he believed to to be what it meant to be a follower of Christ within that situation, as so many others did. But we lift him up as an example of self-denial. I think, too, of more recent happenings of the shooting in Florida, where teachers put their bodies in front of their students for the students' safety, and they lost their lives. And they did it out of the love and care that they had for their students. So that may mean something like this, that maybe love is essential when we talk about self-denial and taking up one's cross. Love is essential. This is not self-love, but rather a love that is for others. You know, our call and command is to love others and love God. The other way around. Love God, then love others. Because that's how we show God's love, is by how we love others. Love motivates a lot of people to not deny themselves and make sacrifices. The love that parents have for their children enables them to make sacrifices for their children, so that their children can have a better education or a better future. At times, friends sacrifice a lot for their friends, for each other. Self-denial sometimes comes in small, almost unseen packages. Baking the meal for someone who is sick or grieving. Offering a portion of one's income to carry out a ministry of a congregation. To share that love of Jesus. Spending time listening to a personal struggle of a co-worker. Perhaps standing up for someone who is bullied or ostracized, even if it means that they are treated the same way. Perhaps it's volunteering to use our time in service rather than something leisurely, something for ourselves, giving of ourselves. God calls us. Do you hear God calling you? Do you hear God's call? This self-denial is not a flashy, impressive, or as impressive as healings or a casting out of demons that we've had so many stories of in the last weeks. But in each act of self-denial, God is honored. And people catch a glimpse of what the kingdom of God looks like. And just perhaps, we experience a taste of the abundant life. Let those who have ears hear. Amen. Do we got some shakers coming up here? For our hymn of the day this week, for our hymn of the day, we actually sang this on Wednesday night for our Lenten service. I came into the office the next day. Josie says, "The kids want to sing it on Sunday." So we're singing it on Sunday. Take my life that I may be. We got the shakers ready? We haven't rehearsed this, though.
No.
Just do it.
I'm
We continue our worship of God through our offerings. The noisy offering today will be gathered for stepping stones.
God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let our church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
Of baptism, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church, make us bold to proclaim your love. Give us courage to carry a cross that comforts us each day and follow in Christ. Strengthen pastors, bishops, deacons, and all who minister your name. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the world, for the flowing streams and the still waters, for urban parks and wilderness reserves, for pastures and forests, instill within us reverence for the earth as your creation and our fragile home. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the nations. Teach us to honor our communion humanity within diversity. Turn enemies into friends. Lead us away from the hatred, fear, and the misunderstanding. Show our hearts the way to peace and fill us with compassion. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in need, for people who struggle to feel acknowledged, for those who leave their homes, and for families in search of safety or employment, for those who grieve, and for all who are ill, especially Robert, Maxine, Derek, Kathy, Lexine, Gordon and Carolyn, Maxine, Ray, Arnold, Lorraine, Sean, Lavone, Libby, Sam. Our companion congregation in Malawi and Abusa. Francis, all those who serve in our military and their families, and all our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined to their homes. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this assembly, for those who prepare this space for worship, for ministries of fellowship and hospitalities, for those preparing baptism or confirmation, and for all who provide care and support to those who are homebound, Lord, in your mercy. Trusting in your for remembering with thanksgiving who have gone before us in the faith, bring them to the fullness of the inheritance in Christ and into the joy of eternal life with you, Lord, in your mercy. Trusting in your covenant of mercy, O God, we lift our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Like children in the arms of Jesus, receive blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. We turn to our hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine. It's found on page 671 in our hymnal. 671 in our hymnal. Two, three, four. Jesus shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Place here a place. Set our hearts on fire. Holy flow. Let the nation and mercy's chair brought to word. Lord, and let there be light. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Place, Spirit, place. Set our hearts on fire. Glory and glory. Nations with grace and mercy stand forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your brightness, ever changing from glory to glory, mirrored here, let our lives tell the story. Shine on me. Shine on. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We'll have a few announcements this morning. First of all, thank you for the Sunday school kids and youth for leading worship today. Good job. Thank you so much. Just Darren, do you want to come get ready? Come up here. So there's a number of announcements. You'll see a benefit for Libby Wallace on the 22nd of March here at church. Also, first communion class will be starting on the 14th of March from 4:15 to 6, and the March 21st, 4:15 to 6. And we also ask that at least one parent or guardian be present with their young person. Remember, it's not a case of being of a specific age. It's more of a desire, asking for, in curiosity about that. Do you want to say something about the Seder at all? Is that just for?
We'll talk about it there.
You'll talk about it there?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Okay, Darren?
I'm here to tell people or encourage people to take a look at the Walking Together Synod gathering on March 17th, at 7, from 7 to 3 that day. I've been to it numerous times. So have a few of the members here at church. We kind of go every year. I just want to let you know it's very useful, a good use of your time for a Saturday. I get a lot out of it every year. There's 35 different workshops with all kinds of different topics, from rebuilding the church to social injustices to worship, music. So you can kind of pick and choose. I think you go through like 4 different sessions a day. Then we have a group worship with all the Synod members. Usually about 450 people or so show up, I think, on that Saturday. And they have a different booths of different information too. So it's and a good lunch. So usually we do carpooling too. So we'll see who all's going. And
there's
we'll,
a sign up out there.
There's
too.
A sign up in the narthex. The nice thing too, I just noticed, we'd like to get more youth and young adults to it. So anybody under 25, the cost is free. So please.
I can go free?
I don't think you'll make it. Well, you have to go 3 times, probably.
Oh, you have to go 3. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So please, if you have any questions, see myself or Josie or Mary. We go every year. So.
Okay. By the way, this year the theme is did you?
The church has left the building to be a church.
The church has left the building to be the church. And
there may be an Elvis impersonator.
There's an Elvis impersonator. Don't he's actually a pastor from, I think, New Richland or something like that. And I've heard him, and he's really wonderful. But one of the challenges is congregations are invited to rewrite an Elvis Presley song, to rewrite it into a missional song. And there's been one entry so far, and it's to the tune of Love Me Tender. And they really did the person who did this really did a good job. But last night we were sitting around the table, my son and daughter-in-law, and Lori, and it was mostly them. But we were doing writing a song for In the Ghetto. What were we gonna?
In the Stable.
In the Stable, instead of In the Ghetto. So it'll be a hit. So anyway, you don't believe me. It's going to be a fun day, and just to invite you to please consider coming and spending some time with your brothers and sisters from around the synod for that. Are there any other announcements that need to be lifted up today? How about if you do it? This is called triangulation.
All right, I guess I'm going to do it. So you'll notice in the back in the narthex, there's a table full of goodies. The youth are selling baked goods again for their fundraiser. We're at about halfway, a little over halfway to our full goal of $1,500. We're at $600-something. So come, and it's all free will donation, whatever you feel like giving, and then help yourself, please. And, you know, the weather has kept some people away, so help yourself a lot. And then second of all, we will have a representative from the youth. I think Leslie is going to go down there, and then somebody else. And if you choose not to have coffee today during coffee hour and you feel like hot cocoa, that is available. Again, free will donation goes toward our fund. Thank you.
There you go. Any other announcements this morning? Hey, it's time. I know he said go in peace, serve the Lord already, or feed the poor, but let's do it again, okay? Go in peace, serve the Lord. Let's go. Jabir.